as well. As you probably noticed from the bulletin, we're going to be in Luke 16, verses 19 through 31 today. But first, we're going to read a couple of passages in a moment from the Sermon on the Mount. But as we begin, would you bow with me? Holy Father, we thank you for this time that we have now to open your word. We thank you that we have the word and that we can be taught by it, encouraged by it, trained by it, and hopefully totally live it in our lives as much as we can, that the name of your Son Jesus would be glorified. It's in his name we pray. Amen. In Matthew 5 and verse 3, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then in verse 7 he said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Now I want to keep those two verses in mind as we read from Luke the 16th chapter, verses 19 through 31. And some of these verses we'll reread as we go through it, but we want to read the whole thing at first. "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades," some of your Bibles may translate that hell, it's the same basic idea, "he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried out and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, there is a gulf between us, a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us.' Then he said, 'I beg you, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. And I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they come to this place of torment.' Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham. But if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' But he said, 'If they do not listen, hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead.'" Now, this is a story we reference quite often, but I want to look at it more thoroughly today and think about the implications here, some of the implications that we might learn from and be motivated by. And first of all, we want to look at the obvious. In verses 19 through 21, we want to look at the economic diversity. A rich man, what did he have on? Purple, linen, all these kind of things. He fared sumptuously, it says in verse 19. Verse 20, "Then there's a certain beggar. His name is Lazarus, and he's full of sores. And all he could do was lay at the gate, desiring." Notice he doesn't seem to get them. He's desiring crumbs, leftovers from the master's table. So we're introduced to the rich man. We don't know a lot about him, but notice he was rich. Now, he may not have been Bill Gates, but he's wealthy. He has plenty. And, you know, if he chose to go to Burger King, it's because he wanted, not some other reason, not because he had to. You know, they didn't have Burger Kings back then. You understand that, but you get the point. He dressed well. Now, nice suit or whatever the wealthy people wore at that time in history in that part of the world. Nice clothes, fancy shoes, all those kind of things. And he would, you know, he'd fit into some of our communities in our world today. And, you know, any time a fella like that who's got fancy, you can tell it's a $3,000 suit and $1,000 pair of shoes and so forth. I was looking up some shoes the other day, and it was $1,000. I thought, wow. You know. But if he walked through the park, he would certainly be one who'd be asked several times for some money, right? Even those of less quality are often asked those things, aren't they? He lived well. He would have the nicest chariot, or we would say the best cars, the finest foods, the best home, quality servants, and his furniture wouldn't come from the Salvation Army or anything like that. He lived well. On the other hand, we're introduced to Lazarus. What kind of life did he? Well, he has the occupation of a beggar. In fact, it appears that's all he could do. In fact, he couldn't even walk, it appears. It says they laid him. Somebody had to carry him and lay him there. Probably right where the rich man normally came out. And all he's hoping for is to get a few crumbs, which he doesn't probably. He was apparently then handicapped, and he had to be laid. He was hungry. I dare say that most of us have never really been hungry, starving, or anything like that. And he was in pain. I don't know what kind of sores he had, but a canker sore or anything like that, that causes a lot of pain, doesn't it? I remember when I was a kid, I had one of those a big one in the calf of one of my legs. It was extremely painful for a very long time. That was just one sore. How'd you like to be covered in sores with great pain? So we have two men in history here, one rich and one very much in need. The needy man was not there by choice. He couldn't work. He had to be carried and laid there, hoping somebody would help him. In Matthew 5:7, it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they," that implies maybe, "they're the only ones, they will obtain mercy." Now look with me at the eternal destiny it states in verses 22 through 26. The beggar died and angels come and take him off to paradise, to Abraham's bosom. It doesn't say that about the rich man. We don't know how he got to Tartarus or Hades. But that's where he ended up, right? That's where he was taken, if that's the way it worked. And he is in a flame. You know, there are those that do not want to believe that we'll ever be in flames. Well, he's in a flame. It is hot. And he is begging Abraham that Lazarus could just go stick his finger in water and then put it on his tongue. Not get him a glass, just stick his finger in water and put... How much water would that be? That's how little water would have helped him. How a little bit. But it could never be because of that great gulf. Now, apparently, somehow they could see over it, but it was too great for anybody to pass. Now, this is not just a story. It's not just fiction. There's something real here for us to learn. And it should grab us by the shoulder and give us a little shake. And it says, "And so it was," the way it words it in the New King James. "It came about," or "this is what happened," something like that. All of us, some before others maybe, but all of us with some awareness and others completely unexpectedly are going to have our time come up, aren't we? We're going to have to deal with different issues. And I want to tell you a short comment story about a couple of preachers' families. One of them's mother was very old, we might say. At least she was in her 80s. And she seemed to hold on for a long time, and then she died. She looked at her nurse just before her death, and she said, "I'm going to die now," and she did. We've probably all seen or heard these kind of things. There was a preacher in the western part of our country who, he wasn't that old, and he got in the pulpit one day, and I don't know how much of his sermon he preached, but he collapsed and died instantly, a massive coronary. We don't know when that day is coming, do we? Some of us may have come close to it already at different times. We don't know when that day is coming. But we have to be prepared, don't we? We have to get ready for that day. And so it was. In Matthew chapter 9:27, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment." But it appears that even before the judgment, people are put in places either of paradise, as in Abraham's bosom, or in torment, as in the translation Hades. A place that's also called Tartarus. Now, as Jesus goes, both of these men died. As he tells this story, in effect, they faced their judgment, although it wasn't the judgment day yet, but they were put in a sordid place. And the beggar dies, carried to Abraham's side. The rich man dies. He was buried. That's all he had to say. Now, again, your translation may say that he was in hell, and for all practical purposes, you might say he was, but when we die, we don't have bodies until the resurrection day, so we're in a place that's intermediate. But this man was still in flames, wasn't he? Still in flames. Hell is certainly not a popular topic to preach on, is it? Many don't want to even believe that such a place exists. Some make the case for eternal annihilation rather than for hell itself. Well, I can kind of understand why they don't want to think about such a place, that it could really be true. Who wants to go to a place like that? Nobody, right? Notice what it says here. He was in torment. He wasn't annihilated. At least not at this point. He was in a flame in verse 24. In verse 26, there's a gulf. There's a giant area separating paradise from Hades, where he was. Now, get the picture. The rich man now wants pity. Lazarus had wanted pity before, right? He didn't get it. Notice Lazarus is a righteous man who didn't get it. He didn't get the help. He didn't get the miracle. He wasn't able to walk. None of these things. The rich man wanted just a drop of water. The beggar wanted the crumbs. The rich man was in agony before. The poor man, the beggar, had all these sores. Now, maybe we need to take a little sidebar here and share the obvious. The beggar did not go to Abraham's side because he was, he didn't go there because he was poor. And the rich man didn't go to Hades because he was rich. That's not the point, is it? It was about mercy or the lack of it. The seeking of mercy and the lack of it is why he ended up where he ended up. Heaven and hell are eternal addresses based upon what we do in this life, whether we walk in righteousness before God or whether we refuse. Yet this story does not take away from the description of hell or Hades as a warning of hell. And the portrait that Jesus wants us to have in mind there, that's what he wants. Could it be that Jesus is pointing out that the rich man, that it was obvious that there were some genuine needs there and he ignored it? He didn't even have his servant scrape up what was left and take it out to him. He would have just taken crumbs. So it's obvious the rich man did not supply it. Though he had plenty of money to do that sort of things. Now in the 21st century, this is often still true, isn't it? And he said, as he talked to Abraham, he said, "Father Abraham, if one goes from the dead, they will repent. My brothers, that is." He wanted his brothers to repent. And Jesus may have told this part with a smile, kind of. He wanted his brothers now to remember, to learn, that you need to be merciful. We must not ignore the context of the story either. That is, a rich man chose to ignore the beggar. Jesus was about to give up everything when he told this story. He was about to give his blood to the ground and to stain the cross. He was about to give his head to a crown of thorns. He was about to give his hands and feet to spikes driven through them. He was about to give his back to a leather whip embedded with metal or bits of glass that would rip his body apart. He was about to give his side to a spear and his soul to God for all mankind. That's the context that we have in which he told this story of the rich man and Lazarus. How important it is, then, that we learn to be merciful people. A very important thing. Ted, are you saying that we lose our soul if we don't do this? Well, I don't know, but Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." In Matthew 5:7, that's exactly what it says. But, people will give their money for wine and dope and beer and all kinds of things. But what about for the poor? What about for the... Well, if I give them money, they'll just spend it on dope or whatever. Well, not the orphans. Not the orphans in Ethiopia or anywhere else you want to look on the earth. They're not going to spend it that way, are they? There are many people that we could help who wouldn't use it improperly. So we want to make sure that we are people who are merciful, as he says. And there are a few things that we want to consider as we wrap up this morning. Each of us, like the blind, or like the beggar and the rich man, are going to die. I don't think any of us will be like Elijah, get to fly into heaven in a chariot, do you? It's appointed unto us to die. We're all going to have to face that. Some may have already come pretty close to that at times. One thing I know for sure, this life is not just about living or existing. It's about Jesus and what we do with him. What have we done? What will we do with Jesus? Hell is something we want to avoid at all costs, don't we? Now, we had a certain time in history which all preachers really were hellfire preachers, right? And certainly there is a place and time for that. But we don't hear too much about it nowadays. But it's a place we need to consider and avoid at all costs. It's not some preacher's scare talk tactic. This is a real place. The rich man was there because he wasn't merciful. He wasn't merciful. There will be people in heaven and there will be people in hell. You and I can go to heaven if we come to Christ. if we submit to Him as our Lord and Savior, if we confess Him as Lord and repent of our sins, if we're baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, as Acts 2:38 and other passages say. And also, the legitimately poor cannot be neglected. Must not be neglected. All of us, though, have something we can share, don't we? Something we can do. All of us enjoy the pleasure, will enjoy, if we walk this life, the pleasures of heaven. It awaits us to be with Jesus and the Father. But we have to remember, as we walk through this life, when we encounter people of genuine need, we have to deal with it, don't we? We should deal with it. We should want to deal with it as best we can. Maybe you're not a Christian today. Certain aspects of thinking about hell are scary, but there's the other side, and that's heaven, right? Do you want angels to carry you away when you die to Abraham's bosom? I do. I think everybody would if they think about it. We're going to offer an invitation song, and maybe you need to respond in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. Maybe you need to correct your life in some way. If you need our prayers in any way, if you need to respond to the gospel, won't you come as we stand and sing?